Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time it may be. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Positivity Spartans. I did have the number count of episodes, but it kind of slipped my mind right there. So welcome back. It's your boy, the Legendary Hub, with my co-host Eric Lane and Marcellus James. As always, we're joined by two very special guests. You know, a former teacher of mine, Mr. Dan Figueroa, and another teacher, Wanda Hoffman, who grew up in the same town that we did. How's everybody doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, doing well.
That's fantastic. How my co-hosts doing, man? I always love when we're always when we're all on here, man. I always feel like it brings more flavor.
I know, right? Man, I am so excited I take leave this week. I cannot wait.
That's beautiful, man. You said you you going anywhere special?
I'm going to Houston.
That's right, H-Town. You said you was going to be up in H-Town. That's right. I thought that was later on in the year, but that's cool. That's what's up, man. I might have to slide down there.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see you.
I'm jealous, man.
For sure. Man, you up in the DMV, dog? You got the crab cakes and whatnot. What you jealous about?
Man, y'all about to link up without me, bro.
Yeah, that's true. It will be nice. We definitely got to get together, you know, do an on-screen podcast for the listeners so that you know, maybe we can get it like that. But Mr. Figueroa.
Yes, sir.
My man, it's been a long time, man. Hey, for those of y'all who don't know Mr. Fig, man, he was one of my favorite teachers. He probably knows this already, hands down, man. Let me tell y'all a quick story. So I'm a big fan of Middlesworth chips, right? I'm talking about this is like my most favorite chip ever. And if you're from the Pennsylvania area, you know about these Middlesworth chips. So me living down in Texas, man, I missed a little piece of home. I was on the book craving for some Middlesworth. So what does my man, Mr. Fig, do? He gets my address. I don't even know how he got my address. And I get a package. Bro, I get a package, 7204 out there in Texas at Killeen. Open a box, and it's the Middlesworth chips. I damn near fainted. I am so appreciative of that, man. How you been, man? How's the family?
I've been fantastic. The family is driving me crazy.
As they do.
But, you know, a good kind of crazy. And by the way, it was your brother. He's the one who hooked me up with your address.
Oh, my God.
He snitched you out real quick.
I could have owed you money or something.
Yeah. No, I was like, yeah, he wasn't even thinking. I was like, yo, so here's the deal. I'm gonna send your brother some chips. He was like, oh, all right, bet. Here's his address.
Hey, it works, man. Definitely appreciate that, man. Thank you for joining the podcast, man. You said you listened before, and I definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Sure. Wanda, Ms. Hoffman, how are you doing today?
Doing all right.
Doing good. How's the family? Husband driving me crazy.
Good. Tyler, you know, he got both a new game system, so that's his life right now.
I am jealous. You want to talk about jealousy? I am jealous on that right there. Man, I might not even be on this podcast episode if I had my ass.
That's our life right now.
No, that's what's up. Hey,
you'll get him back in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't know. I don't think so.
He's got the new Cold War, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It might be a couple months. We'll be praying for you.
Couple years. I'll see him in a couple years. It's all right.
For sure. So, Wanda, why don't you go ahead and start it off? Why don't you give a little background? Because, you know, we know who you are, but, you know, you want to give the listeners a little bio, let them know who they're listening to.
Sure. My name is Wanda Hoffman. I came from a military family. So when I was younger, we traveled a lot. And then Lebanon became my home in sixth grade, and I went through the Lebanon Valley Educational Partnership Program. And then they helped me, you know, get through school, and I wanted to be a cedar for life. So I went to school, became a teacher, first one in my family to graduate college. Nice. And then I was hired right away before I even graduated. And I've been at Southeast ever since.
Beautiful. You said a cedar for life. I love that.
That's right. That's right.
Mr. Fig, my man, give me a little bio.
Yeah, a lot of teachers in my family, actually, both of my parents were teachers. And so for me growing up, I kind of figured that when you grow up, you become a teacher. So my uncle was my math teacher at Lebanon High. Okay. So I went through the Lebanon School District. decided that, like, you know, obviously, like like what I thought a normal functioning adult did, I went to get a teaching degree. And same thing, man, Cedars for life. Like, you know, I think that if I can do a good job at something, I want to do it with my people.
For sure.
So I came back to Lebanon to teach, and I've been doing that ever since.
I love it. Love it. Yeah, he's one of my teachers.
I agree with that as well, because I feel like we maybe experience some of the same things that our kids are going through, so we're able to connect with the kids a little better.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I mean, and that's coming to the forefront now in teaching, because I think before it wasn't considered as much, but you know, representation mm-hmm. matters, and mm-hmm. and like you said, if you want to be good at something, do it with the people. There's a lot more people representing, you know, that higher role model, like you said, Mr. Fig. You know, your parents and your family were teachers, so you know that inspired you to become a teacher. You know, you may be doing the same thing for another young boy or girl.
That's the hope.
Yeah. And you know, I love LA Pest alumni. You know, Lane, I know you're the outsider, bro, but I'm a gloat for a little bit. I love my LA Pest alumni.
I'm all ears,
yeah,
bro.
I feel like each and every one of us are doing some great stuff, man. I just love to hear it. But that attests to a lot of different places though too, because you know, Lane, your boy, y'all went to school together, you know, teachers as well. So it's just a beautiful thing to see people that you came and grew up with, you know, taking it to the next level. Like, you know, me and Wanda, we both were at LA Test at the same time, and now she's a teacher at Southeast, you said? You know what I mean? And just like that, you know what I mean? It's a beautiful circle of life.
That's dope, bro. Where'd you attend college at, Wanda, in Mississippi?
So I went to Juniata College, which is a small school about 35 to 40 minutes southwest of Penn State University.
Okay.
So dead center of Pennsylvania.
And I went to Lebanon Valley College, which is about 15 minutes from Lebanon. It's in Annville, so it was pretty close by. So I commuted.
Now, so I think you're one of our first guests to have went to like a community college versus, say, Lane, you know, went to UMass. Is there a difference? Like, I guess lifestyle or how it's lived is different, but there's really no difference between a community college and a big university, is there? I mean, I'm asking this out of pure ignorance.
So, like, schools like the ones that we went to are considered private colleges.
Okay.
Not exactly community college. There's actually a difference even there. Like, a community college is one where they don't necessarily all offer like housing opportunities and things like that. Okay. Some even offer that too, though. It's just there's all different like setups, but your typical private college will have almost every same setup as a larger university, just on a smaller scale.
Okay.
If I can speak for one.
No,
which you can speak for yourself. But I mean,
same thing. Definitely smaller class sizes, and then you know, open door policy, so teachers were always available if you needed them.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And LVC is expensive. Like, yep. Is it 40 mm-hmm. grand a year or something like that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So if it wasn't for the Lebanon Valley Educational Partnership Program that the college has with, you know, Lebanon School District, there's no way I would have been able to attend.
Dang. 40K a year, that's steep. Steep.
I know that for me, like, I got like a half tuition academic scholarship, and then I had like three jobs while I was on campus. Wow. Plus then, you know, I had loans that I was paying like triple payments every month.
Jeez.
For quite some time, because yo, that interest is no joke. And like what they'll do is they'll set it up where you make the minimum payment, it'll grow on you. Mm-hmm. Like it won't even go down. So,
and that follows you for life, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to get too money centric, but student loans are one of the only loans that you're not protected from if you go into bankruptcy or anything like that.
So no matter what,
if you go bankrupt, if you go no matter what happens to you, they will garnish your pay. They'll garnish your parents' pay. Mm-hmm. If your parents co-sign the loan, they will come the heck after you no matter what. So I was like, yo, I'm eating hot dogs
and
ramen. Yo, I'm telling you, ramen noodles and hot dogs for 2 years. With my wife, she we talk about the summer of hot dogs. It's it's a joke, but it was real. And I was making triple payments on my student loans, so that I could get something done with that, because those things are crazy.
So with you making those triple payments, how much faster did you wind up paying off your student loans?
Oh my goodness, I killed them. I think I ended up, it was supposed to take 15 years, and I think I knocked them out. It was supposed to take 20 years, and I knocked them out in 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, killed them is another statement.
Yeah, because, when you're making triple payments, that means that, one of the payments is just, your minimum payment. Mm-hmm. And paying the interest, and then the other two payments are going straight on principal.
Yeah. Sure.
So, but again, you know what I mean? That was what we did. It wasn't we went out or did anything else.
Yeah. Oof.
Now, you gotta sacrifice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Now, is there a difference in grants or whatnot? I guess there was. Yeah, different in grants versus Wanda when you went through versus Dan when you went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you said you said the LBC partnership program is what you went through, Wanda?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I actually got a full ride. The only thing I had to pay was my books, and then that was for the most part.
Yeah, okay.
But I continued working. I was working two jobs as well to, help out wherever I could. At home, I was working at a nursing home, and then I was working at Staples as well. So,
Staples. I haven't been to a Staples.
I worked at Staples.
Are they even still open?
Yeah, they're still open, bro.
Yeah, they're open.
I thought it was one of them. Maybe I'm thinking of Office. No, Radio Shack is what I'm thinking of. Totally different.
Been gone.
Totally different story.
They're gone. Long gone.
Yeah, totally different story. Okay. Yeah. See. Okay, that makes sense. The LBC program. See, I had to give up 5 years of my life just to get free schooling. But that's another story. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So
that reminds me of that question, Hub. It's what's the stupidest thing you ever done?
Oh yeah, join the army. Join the army, man. Hey, I won't lie to anybody. I strictly joined the army for the money and the opportunity to go to school for free. You know what I mean? And I kind of fell in love with being a soldier while I was doing it. And that's the story that broke. But I will be honest, I'm strictly for school and money.
But that works though. That works.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody has their path. You know what I mean? And I never knock anybody for going to college, first and then doing whatever. If everybody lives their own life and you got to experience it the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm a.
I come from a family of military, military every branch of the military. So I respect that. My brother serves, my dad served, my cousins, so I
appreciate
you.
That. And you got to thank them for the service, because I appreciate them as well.
So
now, go ahead.
All right. So as teachers, what would you guys say would be your favorite part of being a teacher?
That's a good one.
For me, my favorite part, hands down, is just building a rapport with my students.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always tell them I don't have my own children, but they are my kids, and I love them to pieces, and I want them to do well, and, you know, just, and not just, you know, academics are important, but just letting them know that I care about them, and, you know, we've gone to their sporting games, and, you know, if they have a dance recital, you know, we make sure that we're there, so we try to, you know, have those extra, you know, personal,
let them know you're more than a teacher, you know what I mean? You're more than just an authority figure in your life. I dig it.
You know, just, they need, you know, some of them sadly don't have, you know, somebody cheering for them in their corner, so I try my best. Right. So I would say that's my favorite, just the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, you can't go into teaching without that. I mean, you know, without wanting to be that, and without, you know, someone being that for you. Mm-hmm. And at least, you know, in my experience, and that's been, like, for me, it's that same idea. It's that, like, I think about the teachers that, like, that I needed when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not like, you know, the teachers that I liked. It's the teachers I needed, you know, the ones that like I needed to get through the day, because there was just like, you know, some sort of like crazy crap going on at home, or like, you know, other sort of, you know, crazy crap that was happening. And like, and so I just think about like my way of thanking them is, you know, then trying to be that same teacher for some other student that, you know, that I experience on a daily basis is like, I don't know. I just try to be the person that I needed when I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
And, no, you nailed it with that one. Yeah, absolutely agree.
That's it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there aren't many jobs where you get that opportunity. You know, you get to be a living, like, thank you to someone else through what you do for a living. And you get to like pass that on, and and that's awesome.
Yeah, you guys have probably the most impactful and influential job, you know, I mean, out there, because you guys are affecting the future every single day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I respect y'all for that, especially, you know, you sort of alluded to it, you know, even through what's going on at home, you know, you can still show up and you can still be the best you for those kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's what I respect. I wear my emotions on my face, so kids would know I was being a bad.
And the thing is, like, they'll do that back for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I mean, I know for a fact I've had some terrible days, and I'll go in and, you know, like, it's the same thing as like, yo, Mr. Fig, you know, what's going on, man? How you doing? And like, you just know right away, like, that's genuine. Like, you know, because they're not gonna fake it.
They can definitely sense it too.
Yeah, I guess you hear me being with each other every day.
And it makes it authentic too, you know, like we're humans, we have feelings, and I don't know. I think those authentic experiences are important as well. You know, we make mistakes too. We feel down sometimes. We're willing to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you said, we're all humans. We all go through it.
Yep.
No, I want the back end question. What's the worst part about teaching?
I'm going to say 2020.
Okay, respect. Look, 2020, teaching in 2020 is what influenced these three episodes, because, yo, what y'all have to go through is crazy right now.
The in-person and online asynchronous instruction at the same time is just, it's trying to find that balance. Like, I feel like I'm working all the time.
Like, it's never a downtime, because, you know, whether it's at home or in the classroom, huh?
And then I feel like right now I'm struggling to find a balance of, you know, when do I cut myself off for the day? Because I don't think it's fair for, you know, working parents that maybe their kid is at a daycare, and then the only time that they have to sit down with their kids is after work, you know, and if they have a question and they message me, I can't just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, I would say that mixed with grading.
Grading, huh?
Never ending.
So grading is like, I mean, so often it just like it doesn't stop, and it's like, you know, if I decide, so right now I have 170 students that I'm working with online right now, teaching them government. And if I give them an assignment that's going to take me like 3 minutes to grade, that's 6 hours of grading for one assignment.
Yeah, I knew.
So because 180 is like 180 minutes is 3 hours. So, well, I'm sorry. So if it takes 3 minutes, that's 9 hours. That's why I teach government, because government does fuzzy math. So it's like, if I want to make sure that I'm doing like, you know, representative grading, like that takes so much time to make sure that I'm giving it its fair due. Mm-hmm. And so I've taken to trying to, like, when I'm assigning things, I'm doing it like I'm making sure I'm conferencing with the students, and I'll like go over assignments with them so as to make sure that, like, you know, they're getting what I need them to get while I'm grading their work with them, so that like we can do it together, so that we're like killing things at the same time. But oh my goodness, it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, and you're seeing those assignments in your dreams, huh?
Yeah. And the way that our online management system works, it'll tell you how many things you have to grade.
Oh yet. Man, so it's just like a countdown, an ominous countdown. Yeah.
It's just red dots for me.
Yeah. Red dots.
Just as a reminder every day. Yeah.
But fortunately, I mean, like, you know, you can come to some understandings where it's like, all right, guys, you know, just so you know, when I graded this assignment, I really was looking for these two things, you know, and this was my focus. Like, these were the main focuses for this assignment. And, you know, if you didn't hit those, you know, hit me back with it, and, you know, like, and I'll fix it, and we'll run it back. But, you know, like, that can get, again, then that's another time of re-looking at the same assignment.
Right, over and over again. Yeah, I could definitely see how that would get, like, super repetitive, and you start to just go off muscle memory after a while. But like you said, you try to give everybody a fair due.
Yeah. But, yeah, because that's not fair, because, you know, the 115th student who did the assignment, you know, deserves the same respect as the first, so, you know.
See, that's the kind of things that, you know, as students, we didn't even think about or get to see. That's like the behind the scenes of what you teachers have to go through right there. Because, you know, you got to put in the hours at school, and, you know, you have to do your assignments and everything, get your assignments ready, and then you have to grade assignments. Sheesh. A little loud, Joni. Does anybody else hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I have to cut that out. Yeah, to continue on, yeah, it's just, you know, you guys deserve pay raises. Because, you know, I mean, like you said, you know,
definitely.
The hours and everything you guys have to do, you know, that's just crazy.
Yeah. I got a question. I remember Mr. Fig was mentioning that he feels a bit overwhelmed sometimes having 170-plus students. So what is it that you guys do to decompress and to make sure you guys find that balance? Because the school year is what, 6 to 8 months out of the year, almost?
About, yeah, 180 days, right?
Yeah.
180 days, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you guys decompress and, you know, make sure you stay afloat during the school year?
For me, it's running.
Nice.
I like to run as a, you know, escape. And just for my own mental health and sanity.
You
know,
did he run a marathon or a half marathon?
I hated running.
Can you run like a half marathon?
What's that? I just did the Disney marathon in January.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Full marathon. Yes. Yeah. How was that?
It was crowded. And of course, it was January, so we trained up here, so it was like 30 degree weather. So that's what we had trained for, and then we got there, and they had a heat wave, so it was like 85 degrees
in January.
In January, wow. Yeah, it was a freak, like, you know, heat wave that they got through that weekend. Right. I'm like, of course, of all weekends. So it was like 85 degrees. It was so bad that like, they called it dangerous, so part of the course closed. But luckily, we got through the section that closed right before they closed it down, and we got to complete the 26 miles. Nice. But yeah, it was really crowded. Just sweaty people everywhere. But it was Disney, so I didn't care. I did it with a smile on my face.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. You know what I mean? You're in Disney. You know what I mean? You can't be sad there.
Exactly.
That's cool. You know, running is pretty therapeutic. I'm a lie. I wasn't a big fan at first, but as I get into it now,
heck no.
Yeah, it's pretty therapeutic. So I can definitely see how you do that.
For me, especially the way the Eagles are playing.
Sorry.
I'm gonna need a new way to relax. So my kids are starting to get to the ages where they're getting a lot more involved in sports. So like my son just finished his first year of middle school cross country. Nice. And which nice. Again, talking about like running for relaxing, I don't get that. running makes me stressed out. I'm like, yo, now how am I supposed to get home? Like, what? You know, I'm all stressed out. I run to the mailbox, and I'm like, I could take a car. Like, I'm saying, but
I feel your pain. I'm saying,
but like, but no. Nah, so I'm like, one of the things that like helps to like make me kind of relax a bit is to like, you know, take them wherever they're going, and I just kind of like focus on the fact that like, you know, they're doing something, and I can just, you know, like be that stereotypical like family guy, you know.
Peter.
Not family guy, but you know what I mean? Like
it's relaxing, you know, you can just be dad.
Yeah, I can just be dad and not have to worry about everything else and like turn, you know, shut the phone off and, you know, not get the messages and all that
That's
stuff.
That's important. Sure. That's super important.
Yeah.
When you have that support when you're involved in extracurricular activities, because some kids, their parents just drop them off and they're out, you know, so when you're there to support them, it means a lot later on.
Yeah, definitely.
Go
ahead. I was just agreeing with that.
Bro. I was going to say, I always wanted to know how benefits are in teachers, because Wanda mentioned something about mental health, and I always wondered, like, you know, the teacher benefits cover counselors and therapists and things like that.
That's a good question.
I know they have like the SEEP, which provides some sessions, but I've never looked into it.
Yeah, I believe there's a set number of sessions that we can use, but outside of that, no. I should say that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. That was a pretty good question.
That was a fantastic question.
Right. Right. I got us all like.
Yeah.
See, so what have y'all, fellas, what have y'all done to decompress this week? Oh, y'all ain't good. So I'm about to say, y'all ain't decompressed this week?
I don't see nothing, bro. I don't see nothing, believe it or not. It's been a pretty crazy week.
It's been one of them hectic weeks, man. I know we were talking earlier, man. You had some of that old army, some of that old army BS going on.
Man,
yeah, we'll,
boy.
We'll leave that off the week. We know what happened, but we'll leave that off the anyways.
Yeah. It's been it's been pretty rough though, man, to find a good rhythm because you know, obviously I'm back at work and we have a newborn, so like I don't like leaving my wife in the house all day. So when I get off work, I try to tend to the baby, let her decompress. So I mean, sometimes as a man, you gotta suck it up and deal with it. But
Nick, you know, I'm cool. Hey, sacrifices, I'm cool. You know, back and forth, man. It'll get better because you know it always does, my brother. Mm-hmm. You found a gym regimen yet?
I haven't been to the gym since.
That's why you're so stressed.
So, like, I haven't been to like a month.
I'm about to say, man, gotta get to it, man. You know, you gotta get back to it.
Bro, it's like, bro, by the time my wife is done decompressing, it's almost midnight. At that time, I'm like, man, I'm ready to go.
Right,
to sleep.
Back up for that good old PT, man. I dig it, bro. I dig it. It's definitely hard to find bath sometimes.
Yeah. I told you, bro. But this is therapeutic for me right here.
For sure. You know, I always feel that way too. You know, anytime we have guests on here, we get to talk. Just doing a podcast, I always feel like there's a weight lifted off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. How about you, Marcel? Yeah, what
that
you
was
done
weird, Marcel. Wow.
Yeah, right. That's a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, last week was pretty hectic, and then on top of like all the schoolwork. I think I'll take some of a Saturday morning and I'll watch a couple of movies just to slow my brain down. But then, like, by the time Saturday afternoon, it's back to school work again. So I don't really get that much decompression time. Oh, I had a horse ride on Saturday, too. That helped out a lot.
Nice, man. Right. Django. My guy Django. That's what's up, though, man.
Hey.
I know. I got Kill May. Complete for now.
It always does, man. It always does. Now, oh man,
about you, legendary hub.
Yeah, man, I'm cool, man. I'm back in the gym doing my thing, bro. Like, what my man Future say, life is good. I've been watching YouTube videos all day today, man. I don't know. I fall in the rabbit hole. I'll start with like top 10 amazing things caught on camera, and then the next thing I know, I'm watching SCP videos, and then I'm watching creepy Reddit stories, and then I can't sleep at night, so I gotta watch like Peppa Pig and stuff. I don't know, man. The rabbit hole goes deep.
Into the matrix.
But it's been pretty, yeah, man. It's been pretty good. I'm just ready to attack Monday, man, because you know, all great weeks start on Sunday, so I'm just ready to get it going.
Another question.
Y'all can say that.
What's the schedule like? Because I know they're doing different schedules in different areas. So are you guys strictly online or are they doing like half and half kind of deal?
Yeah, for us, mm-hmm. We're doing half and half. So like for my, I can't speak for you, Mr. Fig, but like for us, we have 3 fifth grade teachers, and we have one of our teachers is teaching strictly online for the parents that chose that. And then we're teaching an A schedule, a B schedule, and then there's some kids that come for the C schedule. So what that is I have half of my kids on a Monday and Thursday on an A schedule. The other half comes on a Tuesday, Friday, they're the B schedule, and the C students, which is like they might need the extra help, like beginner ESOL or special ed, they would come every day if they were, you know, so like they need the most, it's like the neediest kids.
Gotcha. So they try to prioritize so that way it's minimal exposure, but they still get the help they need.
Correct. So what happens is we have half of them in person, and then we have to post on the Seesaw platform for the kids that are at home that day, and they're doing asynchronous teaching.
And we have basically the same setup in the high school. I'm the online teacher for all government students, and then we have 2 teachers doing in person for the A and B and C schedule students.
Did you guys know, like, how soon did you guys know, like, what the game plan was going to be? I like the laugh.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Was it kind of like one of those things you guys, like, it was dropped on y'all and y'all had to figure it out? Yeah.
More or less.
That's how. That's kind of how it was here, too. Yeah.
That's interesting, bro.
I had parents, like, from my kids last year that would message me on our class dojo. They're like, do you guys know anything? I'm like, or, like, even parents of, like, people that we knew growing up that had kids in Lebanon, like, hey, do you guys know it? I'm like, it's same information that you know is what I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I feel like they thought I was lying. I'm like, I'm not lying. I have no clue what's going on.
No, for sure. I think that was everywhere, honestly, because I know even here, like, people were, like, freaking out in Texas. They're like, how are they going to go to school? Are they going to go to school? Are they going to give us iPads? You know, are they going to get laptops? Like, no, I don't think anybody knew what was going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah, I believe that, if I remember correctly, I found out what I was going to teach officially week before school started. Because I wasn't sure as to what classes I was going to be teaching, like, up until the week before school started. I believe that's correct.
Yeah, that
it may. Yeah.
I believe it. Same thing here. Like, for us, we're using a program called Accelerate Ed, and we kind of found out the week before. So then it was a mad rush to try to figure this new platform out and get things squared away on how we were going to teach in person and online, but
yeah,
a little crazy. Kind of taking it one day at a time.
That's really all you guys can do, honestly. Because, I mean, even now with, like, I don't know if you guys are following, but corona cases seem to be spiking again. It's like, are we going to get another lockdown again? You know, are they going to shut down schools? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, and there's all kinds of rumors everywhere. Right, you don't even know what to believe.
Yeah, good old fake news on the internet.
Exactly. Good old fake news.
Yeah, that's, once again, y'all need a raise. Yeah, we can't stress that enough, because what y'all do, man, is even hearing things like that. Like you said, you didn't know what you were going to be teaching a week before school started. Like, so you had a week preparation time to get ready for all those, like you said, 170 students you have to teach.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Yeah, that's tough.
And prior to this year, the most students I ever had at one time was 125.
Oh, so your students increased this year? Is that, do they have you teaching different things, or?
Well, yeah, because I'm the one in charge of the online students, and I have so many more. Like, we have more than half. It's just 11th grade for me, and more than half of our 11th grade social studies students are online right now. So it just happened to work out this way. But since I'm the one doing online, because we have, in the same way as Wanda said, there's one teacher doing online and then two teachers doing in person. Mm-hmm. Well, that just happened to work out.
You're the guy online.
Yeah, and so that means that I have more than half of the students, but you know, it works out. Yeah.
What do you guys do to keep the students up? Because I know it's just sitting on a computer all day. I mean, it's hard enough trying to keep kids focused in a classroom, and they're all in different places. So, what do you got? What are some of you guys' techniques to keep them involved?
I think for us, it's consistency. Like, you know, whatever we do in person, I mean, we add extra things, but it's pretty consistent with what the kids are expected to do at home. So I feel like we've found success with that. And then just also communicating with the parents, like, nonstop, and just letting them know, making them aware.
Yeah, on the high school level, for me, and I think, you know, you guys who I taught, it helps that I try to, like, start off the class just kind of being like, yeah, how are you guys doing? Yeah. I don't know. Like kind of like a well check. For sure. You know what I mean? And that usually sets the tone that it's like, I don't know, like, y'all are important people. Like, it, you know, it's not just that, you know, obviously I care that they learn about the government, but especially now, shoot. But, you know, but like, you know, I mean, it also matters that they're well, you know what I mean? Like it right. matters that, you know, at least someone is asking them, you know, how things are going and telling them, like, you know, if things are like too much, if things are stressing them out, you know, like shoot me a message, you know, like we'll work stuff out. And then I usually try to, you know, tell them some sort of ridiculous story that's happened to me in the, you know, in the last little bit, because things are nuts right now. I mean, we had,
right.
so we had to go fully virtual last week for the entire school because we had accumulated too many cases. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me. So one of the things the school had to do was obviously do another like serious deep clean. Well, I forgot to put my coffee cup away. So I come in, you know, and I pour the coffee in my coffee cup. And of course, I'm tasting like, you know, some stuff that I shouldn't be tasting. And so like one of the first things that I do when I started my Zoom meeting with my class was I was like, all right, guys, so I got to tell you, the stuff that's supposed to kill the Rona almost took me out. Because you know, my coffee cup was out and maintenance, you know, they sprayed it. And there must have been a little bit in the bottom, and I just added my coffee to it. You know? But, like, it's just stuff like that to try to at least pull them in a little bit. Yeah. And then I, you know, so anyway, about the Electoral College, like, let's talk a little bit about its fairness. And, you know.
You might have a lot more interest, you know, in these recent years than past years, huh, Mr. Pig?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I definitely see there's way more people involved, or I shouldn't say involved, want to know more, you know, about what's going on in the government and the politics. You know, I'm gonna be honest, man. I'll give you your flowers while you're here today, man. You're one of the reasons why I actually started to take politics and the government seriously. You know, because before your class, I was just like, oh, well, you know. I was one of those, my vote doesn't matter, people, you know, my voice isn't going to be heard type people. But like I said, after going through your class and learning to never trust, you know, a person with two first names and things like that, you know, I actually got into politics and everything, man. So I appreciate you because a lot of my knowledge, you know, stems from your class and your teachers.
Practical knowledge.
Yeah, man, it is, man. I will remember that one. Yo, that one sticks in my head for like ever. Never trust a person with two first names. I'm like, gosh,
so I just want to give like a quick story about going to class. You got Mr. Fade. Yeah, the environment mental check thing, like spot on. Like as you're coming in the door, he's popping off jokes, you know, like he has something going on as you're coming in. And then once you sit down, one of my favorite things about his class was every quarter you got to change your name. So I was like, oh, I got you, Mr. Fig. This is your room? No problem. So my first quarter, I had my first name. The first name I had was like P. Diddy, right? And then every quarter I started adding on to the same name. So like by the time fourth quarter hit, it was like, Mr.
It was P. Diddy, Bad Boy, Baby, Dirty Money, Cheesecake, Pan. Was this man's name in my class?
So every time he picked on me, he had to say it. And it was just like the funniest thing in the world. But I really do appreciate you as a teacher. And as we always say on the podcast, like you got to give people their flowers while they're here. So like easily for top sure. five, one of my favorite teachers ever. And your application of that authenticity, and we're going to learn today too at the same time. It was awesome, and I really do appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
For sure. For sure. Man,
real quickly, just to be real on that, the whole reason why I had people choose their own names was because of my brother. Like, when we were growing up, my dad named him and my mom named me. And like, so my brother was Ismael Sharif Figueroa, and like that's you know that's a little bit, yeah, and you know my mom named me Dan Eric, so I mean, so the thing was like my brother was always like he hated his name because, you know, when we were growing up in Lebanon, it wasn't nearly as diverse as it is now. And so he was always like, you know, trying to have people call him something else. So he actually still goes by Shad instead of Sharif as like, you know, short for his, you know, for his middle name. So because of that, I always like ever since day one of my teaching, I was like, look, you know, feel free to change your name, you know, go by what you want to go by, because again, like, you know, going back to very first thing, what I like about teaching is it's like, you know, you got to give people that opportunity to become, you know, you name because, you know, you're not going to be comfortable in my room. And so like, that's
right.
I don't know. It's just like stuff like that.
No, yeah.
That's great. I'm kind of jealous because I've always hated my name. same name as my mom. So growing up, like, people would call me, like, can I talk to Wanda? And I'm like, which one?
Okay, yeah, I can see how that would get along after a while. No, but that's for sure, man. We definitely got to give you the flowers, Mr. Stink, because, you know, I think anybody who stepped through your classroom, man, you know, has had a good time. Yeah. Has had a good time and learned, man, because, you know, you're not just, like you say, you're not just out there, you know, just giving us BS information. You're actually teaching us and making us feel like we were people. And I always felt like I could have came and talked to you about anything. So for sure, man, well,
thank you again.
Man, no doubt. Yeah, we actually appreciate the both of y'all for coming on the podcast, because we're getting short on time here a little bit. But before we go, is there like a quote, you know, anybody you want to shout out or something y'all want to leave with the people?
Yeah.
Well, putting me on the spot here.
It could be a quote you might have read on a fortune cookie or whatever, you know?
I don't know. I'll be honest. When I was thinking about coming on here, the biggest thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was just the fact that I kind of felt like what's always helped me in like staying positive, because I think that one of the big things that you guys do is try to build each other up and you know, believe it or not, stay positive. stay on that grind is that idea that that I always feel like I've never deserved anything. Like, and I think that whenever I feel like I'm deserving of something, then I stop working for it. Cause I feel like, that's gosh, mine. Like, you know, I deserve that. And I feel like, you know, yeah. I mean, there's so many times in my life when like I've done things where like I probably in real life, like deserved something negative, like some sort of like negative consequence. And maybe I didn't get that, you know? So I think like, instead of looking at things where like what I've deserved, I think about like, you know, what I can do again, just to try to be humble about what I'm doing and like how I'm trying to help people, because it's, I don't know, it's not all a pie. Like what I'm trying to do, like, doesn't take away from others. So it's not like there's just like this random thing that I'm deserving of. It's like, I don't know, just trying to help people.
I get that. You're more selfless than thinking you're deserving of what you what you get for doing what you do. I feel that 100%. I feel that 100%, and I appreciate you for saying that, because that is definitely, you know, a mindset to go into things, especially as a teacher. You know, you have that mindset to where you want to give. And you're giving to the future. You're giving to, you know, a next future president. You're giving to a next future governor. You're giving to maybe a next future NBA, NFL, MLB star. You never know. And, you know, just you having that sense of selflessness, you know, already shows you're in the right profession. And, you know, you're way older than me, man. You've been doing
that. You don't need to say, way older like that. Yeah, no. Oh, man.
For sure. So I appreciate you saying that, for sure. Hey, what's up, Ron? You got one? You want to give Tyler a shout out?
I'll give the quote, like, totally random here, but I remember my first day when I met my teaching partner, and she said to me, because I was, you know, ready to go in and, you know, make a change and everything was going to be all good, and she just looked at me and said, just so you know, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. And I feel like that's kind of shaped everything. Just always, again, trying to look at the positive in every situation, because it's not always going to go the way that you plan. And just remember that, you know, it's mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's Absolutely. All about the kids and just being their number one cheerleader. That's what I strive to do. Again, academics are great, but, you know, just knowing that they have somebody that cares about them, and they'll always be my kids. Like, my first class that I taught just graduated high school last year, and they'll always be my kids. Like, I see them out in public, and I forever will call them my kids. So.
For sure. I want to thank y'all so much, you know, jumping on the podcast. I had a great time recording this episode. I have a great time recording every episode, but I definitely had fun. You know, I laughed a lot this episode, so I definitely appreciate y'all for coming through, you know, sharing your experiences and, you know, just for doing what y'all do every day.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I love podcasts. I've listened to this one before, too.
It warms my heart. You know, when people say this to my podcast.
I love podcasts. It's another thing I do. I run and I listen to podcasts. That's my life.
You have to let me know how it feels to hear yourself on a podcast for once. For sure. But I want to thank everybody for listening. We are almost at 5,000 plays. So thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, positivity, prosperity, peace.